for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Friday morning, May the 23rd, 1980. Dr. Marcus Haggard, Yorktown, Indiana, is a teacher of the morning. This is tape one of two tapes.
We're glad to have Brother Marcus Haggard and his family with us from Yorktown, Indiana. And you're going to enjoy him. A lot of you have met him when he was here at Easter. And those of you who haven't, why, this is the horse doctor down here on the floor taking the appendix out of something.
You see, teaching, see, Paul, was he in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, he actually said he was in fear and trembling that he would go back into eloquent speech. What he wanted was their faith to stand in the power of God and a demonstration of the Spirit. So the only way that you can teach the power of God is by letting the power of God fall with such tremendous power that what? Satan will be exposed. See, a lot of people try to go to a higher, more powerful type of deliverance ministry. And they try to get it so powerful. Ooh, hush! Come out of there! Hush! Now, don't you do anything but come out. Listen, that's cooperating with Satan. See, the reason Jesus didn't want him talking was because they'd tell who he was. And he was in enough trouble. So he told them not to tell who he was because they'd reveal to the people who he was and he'd be just have more of a problem. So he didn't tell them to hush up because they were going to, because he wanted them not to manifest. Satan has worked undercover ever since he deceived Eve. See, Eve didn't know Satan was in that serpent. She thought she was talking to the serpent. She was talking to the coons and the rabbits and the dogs and the cats and the snakes and the serpents. And here came, she didn't know Satan was in there tempting her. But he was undercover. Now, everything that Satan does today is undercover. Medical diagnosis of arthritis, honey. You got that. Well, your mother had it, and probably food and so forth. And Shackley has an explanation. And every MD has an explanation of arthritis. And the Bible has an explanation of arthritis, see? And it really is Satan undercover. Undercover of what? Undercover of the medical diagnosis. Little Timmy's tantrum's undercover. Why? Why, Mother says he's just like Uncle Bill. And Uncle Bill had a tantrum, and so Timmy got Uncle Bill's tantrum. So it's just only normal for Timmy to have a tantrum, isn't it? Sure. Inherited through the family. What is it? It's Satan undercover. So she goes to church, and the preacher says, well, I must not glorify Satan. I would preach more on Satan. I just kind of feel like I should, but I don't want to give him the glory. See, that's a lie of Satan right there. He's cooperating with Satan. And I want to show you by just a crude drawing, which is the only kind I can make, how Satan got undercover and how Satan stays undercover. Now, when the Lord sends enough angels, and Father, we ask for them right now. When the Lord sends enough angels, see, when the Lord sends enough angels, when the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and the Father and everything is surrounded in here and the pressure gets great, greater, greater, greater. Those demons say, hey, wow, it's never been like this before. And they erupt. And praise God for their eruption. Amen. Then the saints of God, armed with the Word. See, armed with the Word of God. Armed with what they're supposed to do, can absolutely come against them, you see. Oh, my, it's marvelous to have them so scared that they're just popping up and naming their names as soon as you say out. That's what we all dream about. See, that's the kind of person we want. Now, if you're not going to be that way, just keep your seats And don't come up for ministry unless you're going to deliver easy. No, we don't like the tough ones. But you see, what we ask the Father to do, and through this illustration, I hope to show, you see, where we have to sit back and say, Father, I'm helpless. I'm a hunk of clay. I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing within myself. And only through your power poured through me can I do something. See? So, Father, just have at it. I'll cooperate. You see, we mustn't. Also, we want to illustrate where God does not take us over. We have to be completely in control of ourselves at all times. So we better get started, hadn't we? This thing seems to have changed, or maybe I'm just... But anyway, in Ephesians 1:17, what Paul said is good enough for me, and it's an example, you see, of the fact that he wanted the Lord, he wanted the Father, to do some things that he couldn't do. Now, you realize that if we're a hunk of clay, Shockley, are you just clay? Yeah. The demon, well, that's an important thing. Isn't it? He said, with the Spirit. Yeah. He's a hunk of clay with the Spirit of God in him, see. And his Spirit united with the Father's Spirit. That sounds simple enough. But Paul knew that the Lord had to do some things for a Christian before that Christian would be able to really understand some of the things that were going to happen to him and understand his full authority. Now, I want to just say this. You see, this is it sounds kind of funny, and it takes the Spirit of God to enlighten you on this, but what we want to tell you is that over here is a dying away to yourself, and a person becomes less and less. And yet a person has to stay Marcus Haggard, has to stay Paul Smith, has to stay Charlene Fight, has to stay Morris Graham, has to stay Glenn Miller all the time. And he never changes, and he works with God. That's in 2 Corinthians 6:1. We are workers with God. And then over here, when God starts using you and working with you, you become so mighty that if you really did what we're supposed to do, the believers, now let this soak in, the believers are so blessed that they should be running all the banks. They should be running every manufacturing plant in America. They should own every square inch of ground in America. They should be president of the United States, and the Congress should be full of believers. And the sinner, the guy that refused God, should have nothing. He should be the one that was sick, tattered, because God says he has cursed him. That's Jeremiah 17:5. If you want to take a look. The sinner's the one. The lost. Let God deal with them. They ought to be out there. And the believer ought to be reaping all the promises. Now, how in the world can you support that scripturally? Well, before we get through, I want to show you where that's scriptural. We receive the blessings of God. And as we go through and mention scriptures, just make a note of them and then make yourself a self-study of them. You see, really, that's why the demonstration has to be the teaching. A teaching cannot occur from just the teacher. It has to occur from God. It has to occur from the Holy Spirit. It has to occur, and then you are on your own with God. These things that are built where they all look to the man for more food or more teaching are not entirely always. I'm going to water that down. See, I just looked back at my wife, and I'm going to water that statement down. They're not always of God, you see. And I want to show you where there's a lot of soul power in that, and then we're going to get the soul power. So Paul said, you see, in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, and if we go long enough in this camp meeting, why, we're eventually going to show you how wonderful the spirit of wisdom is. It is a spirit. We must have it to operate as a Christian. And until we get it, we are simple-minded idiots. Even though we might be spirit-filled and everything else, but without the spirit of wisdom, you're an idiot in the eyes of God. Yes, sir. Thank you, ma'am, I mean. Yes. I love people like you. Come right onto that support there. Now, the spirit of the revelation of knowledge in Him, that knowledge is the same knowledge as in Isaiah 11:2, where the spirit of knowledge rests in Jesus Christ, and it's the same knowledge in the original language as, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. Now, if there's ever one thing to just get up here as a goal that you want to achieve, and that is Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3, for man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Now, until we reach that, see, in other words, that means as you walk along and you get fuller and fuller of the Word, let's clear this up. You can be full of the Word and lay drunk in a gutter. And I have seen it happen, you see. They call them Bible-holics down in Indianapolis at Arthur Pratt. He's got 16 houses for drying out drunks. And he says some of those guys know the Bible so well there isn't anything they can't quote at any time, and yet they're drunk. So if you're not living it, if it isn't spiritual, if the Holy Spirit isn't in there, and if you haven't realized the demonstration of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, the whole Bible is deliverance. The whole Bible from beginning to end is deliverance. It begins, you see, with in Genesis 3:15, with Jesus Christ being born, and it ends in the end with us being an overcomer. Now, if we're not an overcomer to the end, it doesn't speak very well of you if you're not an overcomer to the end. It's kind of a tragic end if you're not an overcomer to the end. And that's overcoming Satan, and that's deliverance. Okay, the revelation of knowledge in Him, that's a spirit. Now, 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Spirit, there's a spirit of understanding. We have an understanding, and He wanted it to be enlightened. So that's what we're asking the Father to do for every mind here, and your families. And you can ask Him to put them in the rest of your families. We have a daily prayer and a daily binding and loosing. Your eyes, and that the hope of His calling. Now, that word hope, you ought to circle it, see? Just take your flare pen or something that's writing fine so you won't obliterate the whole thing. Did you forget your Bible again? You got an extra Bible? Well, I'm just going to give her a... I may ask for this back in a minute, but just so you can follow along. Anybody else need a Bible? That's okay. Let's see, you need a paper to write on? Here's some paper. That's a time. Share that paper with her. Yeah, we know that these women are kind of born disadvantaged. Well, let's see here. Now, and what is, let's see, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope. Now, hope has been changed. That word has been changed. Hope means a wish in the language today. See, I hope we go up there for Christmas. I hope we go to Uncle Charlie's for Christmas. I hope that we can get that swimming pool built this summer, you see. A wish, a wish, a wish. In the Bible, when you see that word hope, it means assuredness. Assuredness, a confidence, see. So you read that. And what is the sureness of His calling? You ought to circle that. Then up at the top of the page, put sureness, certainty, confidence. See, hope is a helmet to protect the mind. When you've got confidence, hope, sureness of Jesus Christ's calling, Why? Because the Father says, I have spoken it. He signed a lot of His promises that way. And boy, when I have spoken it, and I'm as great as the Father is and as powerful as the Father is, that ought to mean what? Sureness, confidence, fullness of expectation. We can count on it. And the riches of His glory and inheritance in the saints. Now, you see, this is the important thing right here in 19. And what is, just leave off the exceeding. Sometimes Paul got so carried away, he became, he just did a lot with those words. And the Lord must not have thought it was unnecessary because He put it in there, though. So let's go ahead and put it in. Is that okay with you? All right. And what is the exceeding? Now look, He used exceeding. Now that means surpassing all. Surpassing all. Then He put greatness, which means absolutely tops. Couldn't get any greater. Greatness of His power, which means dunamis. Do you know what dunamis really means? Yeah. But you know what that it means when it... See, He used dunamis and all the other words in this little bit of a dissertation on power from there clear through to the end of Ephesians. He used about three types of power and three different Greek words in power. And you know what they all mean combined when you go to combine them? It means that that power is a perpetual power that never runs down. And then what it means in above that is that it, as you use it, it gets greater and greater and greater. See, if you had a motor that ran on true dunamis, and there is one in existence, that it has to be controlled and suppressed or it'd fly apart. Material things couldn't hold it. But see, spiritual, all things can hold it. So the power in you is spiritual. And as you use it, it gets greater and greater and greater and greater and greater and greater and greater. Oh, boy, is it any wonder that you walk down the street and some demon-possessed boy walks within 3 feet of you and goes, yeah! Boy, that happens to you all the time, doesn't it, Shockley? Yeah. Praise God. Oh, we wish. We wish. Did it happen to Jesus? It sure did. Pressure got on them, see? And they yelled out. Now, that's what dunamis is. That's what power is. And that's what He's talking about, see? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? We should expect the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ by putting power in us to get greater and greater and greater, that today, if we have to pray an hour for a person, that maybe a year from now we'll only pray a half hour, and then a year from then we'll just walk by them, touch them. Oh, I got healed. That's the power that ought to be in us, see? Now, how does that power get in us, see? Well, we're going to talk about that. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Now, Father, we ask You to honor that prayer. We ask You for that same prayer to be expressed in these people and in these minds. And we're just simply going to go on and try to basically explain some of the things. Mary, I really need for you to stay up here to kind of... This is the first time that I've attempted this on a bigger chart, and I'm just trying to make things so that it will be illuminated a little more in our... I'll tell you later what kind of mind. So that it can be understood better. And we ask the Father to really, right now, and I'd like to ask your cooperation. See, this is strictly informal. You folks are Bible students. You folks, many of you have been years and years in the Bible. Your knowledge of the Bible is great. So I'm going to ask the Father, to bring to your mind the Scriptures that we need, that we don't have entirely, and that you be given the boldness to speak out when you do receive some revelation, and that we have the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge, and then that the Holy Spirit be in such power that every mind be brought into one accord on this, an agreement on this project and that we would be able, that then we could see ourselves as the Lord wants us to see ourselves, you see. And this is entirely scriptural, and we're just simply going to start up here with Adam. Okay, the Lord made Adam, and let's just see scripturally how Adam was made, and why was he made, and how he was made. Okay, now, we have to understand a little bit of background to understand where Satan got where he was. But the scriptures say, and I'm not going to just simply give you, I'm going to give you one scripture. If you want more scriptures, I can give you plenty more. But your scripture would be Isaiah 14:12. That Adam, that Lucifer, was made to rule the earth originally. And he was made to rule the earth, and then he rebelled against God, and God put him out of business, and caused the earth with first flood. That wasn't Noah's flood, that was the first flood. And then God made the earth beautiful again in the second chapter of Genesis. And then he created the night and the day and the land and so forth and the heavens again and, well, the clouds again, the firmament, and allowed the sun to shine again upon the earth. And then he had to have somebody to rule the earth. See, Lucifer was out of business. He had sinned against God, so he was out of business. So Lucifer was sitting back up here in the heaven someplace, licking his wounds and out of business. The Lord said, look, let us make man in our likenesses. Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26, he made Adam to rule the earth. He said, let us give man dominion over the earth. And he gave man instructions to replenish it. So the Father created a man, Adam. And on this particular chart, we'll call it number one. And on this particular chart, we'll show how he made Adam in... he said he made him in his likeness in Genesis 1:26. Gave him dominion over the earth. And gave him all charge of the earth. Made magnificent as a ruler. Now that's the first important thing to remember. If you're going to chalk something up, remember that Adam was made as a god of this world. Adam was made to have dominion. Adam was made to rule, to take charge over everything. Okay? In Genesis 2:7, then it tells how he makes Adam. Genesis 2:7. Somebody want to read that? Who's got that right quick? Okay, he formed man of the dust of the ground. So he had a body. Now you want to remember, that was made out of earth, and Adam was sitting in the... Well, he was sitting on the earth. And God picked up some stuff and made his body. He said he formed man out of the dust of his body. There laid Adam. He looked like something. He looked like he had a body. He looked just like you would if you laid down there. Now, what? Go ahead. Breath of life. Whoa! From the Father came a breath, which is spirit, and that owned by God, the Father. So Adam had a spirit in him and a body in him, and then what does it say? All right, man became a living soul. Now, why do we spend some time on this? Well, because I want you to see the condition that we are in, and so you can tell others the conditions they're in and where this, how this thing happens. So Adam, want to remember that he had a mind, and it was the mind of Christ, because Christ made it all anyway. That's John 1:3. Colossians 1:16. It's scriptural that Christ made it all. Hebrews, first chapter, says the same thing. See, so there's no doubt about that. He had the mind of Christ, and his mind was full of the Spirit of God, connected to God, and his soul became into existence, which was Adam. And the soul of a person is who they are. And they're who they are as long as they exist. They don't change ever. In other words, Marcus Haggard stays Marcus Haggard from the time he was born to the time he was dies, and that spirit is in the soul, and this made him a person or a personality, and it had power. Now, what did it have power of? It had free choice. Okay. Now, let's just be very careful about this. The only connection that is of God is by the Spirit, and it is sensitive to God. Now, this is really a little bit of a tricky part here. The way that a man's soul or mind is sensitive to God is through the Spirit of God, which only God can give. And that's owned by God. Now, his body is sensitive to the world. Through what? Touch, taste, smell, hear. What else? See. And it puts the body in connection with the world, and the body puts the mind in connection, or the soul in connection with the world. In other words, the sensitivity of touch, taste, and smell is connected with the world to the soul, and your sensitivity to God can only occur through God's Spirit. Now, you all knew that. Isn't that interesting? There isn't hardly a person here that didn't know that already. So why are we spending time on it?
Well, I want to show you why we're spending time on it. Remember, Adam had a free choice. And Adam had something happen that was very embarrassing. He was deceived. He was deceived, and we're going to have to catch a lot of this. But let's just say Adam fell. Now, Adam fell, and this over here stayed blank. What happened? The Lord withdrew his spirit. And Adam was left here with a soul. But what was it made out of? Well, just the earthly part. It had no connection with God. It was dead. Just as his body was dead to God. And Satan took God's place. And here the first lie of the church comes about. Satan was God of this world again. See, Satan regained his rulership of the earth through Adam's fall. So Satan became God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Jesus called him the prince of the power of the air, and so forth. Now remember this. When Jesus Christ was born and died and shed his blood and redeemed us, Satan stayed God of the world. The greatest lie in the churches today is being preached that Satan has no power. Satan's got all the power he ever had, except through one exercise. The choice of the believer to choose God, believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and get that power within him. But Satan can still cause epilepsy just as hard as he ever did. He can cause He can cause cancer as bad as he ever did. He can cause sexual sins just as much as he ever did. He can cause lying and cheating and stealing. He's still God of this world, and Jesus recognized him as such. He says the prince of the air. In Ephesians, Paul called him the prince of the air. And Satan stayed God of the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he was God of the world. Now, Satan was Adam's God. Adam fell. His soul become earthly. His body started to have some things happen to it. Why? Well, because Satan has tools. And Satan has some things that are a little bit unpleasant for him. What happened? Well, the body, through Satan, and Satan controls an army, doesn't he? It refers to his principalities, powers, authorities, and all that. And don't think everybody doesn't have a strong man. Everybody in this room has a strong man assigned to Satan. Every home has a strong man assigned to Satan. Every state has a strong man assigned to Satan. Every schoolhouse has a strong man assigned to Satan. Every township has a strong man assigned to Satan. Every city has a strong man assigned to Satan. And Jesus called him the strong man, you see. So Satan had an army ready to go to work on Adam. And what happened? Aging? Give me some things that Adam's body suffered. Pain, death, decay, lust, pain, we got that. Loss of hearing, natural emotions. Huh? Hurt. Heartbreak, forgetfulness, that goes with the mind, see? Now his mind is dead also. His mind is what they call a carnal mind. Now remember that his mind, the only thing that's left in there is carnal or flesh. Now what happens to his mind? Well, we have crazy, dumb, low IQ. We have what else? Lunacy, confusion, forgetfulness. What? Drowsy, double-mindedness or split personality, stress, paranoia, sorrow, fear, depression, oppression, anger. Boy, oh boy. Everything we know that's bad, right? Everything we know that's bad. Did you have evil remembrance? How about blindness? I mean, how about blinded mind, see? Satan was able to blind the mind? No, can't hear. Good. Okay, you can just name them. You can see your family there. You can see your neighbors there. You can see Adam just lost it, didn't he? Without God. Now, yeah, you can see yourself. That's true. I wasn't going to say that. Of course, thank heavens I've got rid of most of those. I... Amen. Now, the thing of it is, that the next step, if we keep this in mind, you see, the next step that we have to realize is that Satan, in this third chart here, we're going to show man, lost. And he's got a mind and a soul, and he has a body. And he has Satan over here who's playing his father. What is he? The father of lies. So that means he's the chief of deception. And Jesus said that his goal was to what? Steal, destroy, kill. But deceive is right. Okay, now here's man's body. So what does Satan do? Well, he's sensitive to the world. And so his body senses, see, Satan wants to make him feel good. Now in this soul, we're still over here with no spirit, no Holy Spirit. So in this soul and in this mind, it's carnal, and the Bible says that it's an enmity with God. That's in Romans. I believe Romans 8:7 or something like that. It says the carnal mind, or the natural mind, is at an enmity with God. So this mind is set against God. That is, set against the true Father. Okay, now Satan wants this fella comfortable. And so his job is to deceive him, and within this man is soul power. Now this power was put there by God when he made man, and it has the power to do things. Wrapped up in this body and flesh and everything is the power within a person. Have you ever known a lost person that was likable? Yes. Tremendous personality. And what do they say? Why, if he'd ever turned that to God and could use it for God, what a great preacher he'd make. What a great missionary he'd make. Why, look at that man's personality. Look at her play the piano. Listen to him sing. Woo! Boy, if we could get him saved. Now, see, all that is coming from soul power. Tremendous magnetism. Now, if you start getting headaches and stuff like that and feeling a little odd when I'm talking about soul power, remember, nobody can get rid of that but you. Nobody can deliver you from soul power. So what Satan's goal is to develop and magnify soul power with all of the senses to the world. Now, he can set up the form of godliness. 2 Corinthians 3:5. He can set up all of the things that the Bible talks about. Isaiah 5:12, 13, and 14. Ezekiel, along about, I'll give you these just really specifically after a while if you want them, but Ezekiel, he says, they shall honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's also in Matthew. You see, Jesus said it again. Satan wants the person satisfied so that he feels like he's serving for God and serving for Him and satisfy that great desire within his soul to worship. But the thing of it is, what happens is, the senses of the world are the things that are manifested in soul power. And a person gets so well, I wouldn't preach to less than, 1,500. There are preachers that won't take a church unless it's going up. They've got 1,500 now, they'd have to have a church that seats 2,000. They have 800 now or 400 now, and they'd have to step up in their next church, you see. Now, soul power is developed to the ultimate by Satan himself, connected right to Satan. And we want to remember then that soul power is powerful. And any time that it's soul power, it is not of God. See? It's not of God. So the thing that happens is that the Lord did something for man. The Lord did something for man, and He predicted it in Genesis 3:15. The Father entered the scene again, and the Father entered the scene again with Jesus Christ. There's something that ought to be clarified, that the Father, the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ existed in heaven as three persons, individually. And when the Father, in Genesis 3:15, He said that He was going to present Jesus Christ. Now, this is man in his present state, and he has a soul, and in it is a mind. He has a body, and Satan is still here. And Satan's still God of this world. All right, now, this is just a little bit delicate to put together. But this is as plain as I can say it. And Father, I ask You just simply to bless us and to fill our minds and bring us scriptures to our minds and let Your Spirit reveal what You want revealed that's already been revealed in Your Word. All this is in the Bible. And so man was now given a choice through Jesus Christ to come back to the state of Adam. He was restored and redeemed. And when the word truth is used, when He came down as a truth, you see, the word truth is used, that means that the truth is that your real Father is the Father, the Creator of all, and not Satan. See, that's the truth. That's what telling the truth is, you see. Okay, so that's why Jesus said He was the truth. Now, man was then given a chance to believe, and in John 6, four times in that chapter, it says that the Father has to draw the person. And the Lord says He's going to save everybody, so everybody's been drawn. Okay? Now, here we are. We've got our body full of evil spirits. You can list them all right there. Here we are. We've got our soul and our mind full of evil spirits. Now, we're going to just right now... And Satan's the god of this world. So now we're at a point, see, where Jesus Christ enters the scene. And John 1:12 says very clearly that He gave power to those who would believe on Him to become the sons of God. Now, this is a very critical thing to understand. Man's, the spirit of man, according to scriptures, spirit of man, has laid in here dead. Now, it is not just a word. It isn't just something. It's a true chemical, spiritual, whatever you want to call it. It is a happening that when you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart or come into your spirit, that His Spirit, the Father's Spirit, with Jesus Christ, comes in here and mixes and is in man's spirit, that it actually becomes alive. Now, a change occurs. A change occurs. It's got to be a change. Something happens. Now, you don't feel it. You want to remember that everything over here is feelings, is moods. You can't get in the mood to get saved. You can't feel like getting saved. You got to ask for it, and because it does happen, you have to believe it without feeling. Now, so the devil started to deceive, and we'll have to discuss some of this at a later time. But you see, he deceived people on their minds, and he said, "If you would meditate upon my word." So there are some people say, "Well, you got to meditate every morning. You sit there and let your mind go blank, waiting on the Lord to talk to you." That's not what meditate means. Meditate in the Scripture means being active, studying the Word. Have your mind resolved. Have your mind resolved. See? Have your mind resolved towards God. Know the Scripture. Study the Scripture. Meditate is action. Now, that's a passive mind. And anything that you get out of an inactive mind is of the devil. The Lord does not use an inactive mind. He wants your mind active. He wants you thinking. He's built everybody to stay in gear. He put the spirit of counsel in a person. He counters all these spirits with the spirits of the Lord. Now, the spirits of the Lord are wisdom and so forth, and we're going to discuss those. Now, the passive mind also, there's the waiting upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord means to look to the Lord. To look to the Lord, you see. Be actively looking to the Lord. Now, there is another one. Father, I ask you to bring it to our minds right now. That's exactly right. In Ephesians, you see, it says in Ephesians 4:23. We can just put it up here on this mind here. It says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what we have to understand is, it's either 4:23 or 4:24, but one says, put off the old man. Now what the Lord is saying is that I have given you Jesus Christ. I have given you Jesus Christ. If you will believe on Him, if you will receive Him, I'm going to give you the Spirit that has unlimited power without measure. Unlimited power without measure through the Spirit. Then you have to decide right now whether you are working. See, you have to decide whether you're working for God. Now, we'll discuss that at a later time, but working for God is where it's just like the fella that, you remember the man that was helping bring the Ark of the Covenant back, and it jiggled a little bit, and he reached out to steady it, and he dropped dead. He was working for God. There was a law that said, I forbid you to touch that Ark of the Covenant. And he touched it and dropped dead. Remember when the king wanted to light the incense in the Holy of Holies? And he grabbed the incense burners and they said, hey, you're not supposed to go in there. And he said, I'm going to go in. It's out. And he went in there and what did he do? He got leprosy and died from leprosy. He was working for God. God doesn't want people working for Him. He wants people working with Him. That's right. So, to work with God, there's only one way to do it, and that's meet the Scripture requirement. And that is, your soul has to die. Now, here's the tricky part. Jesus said, unless you fall to the ground as a grain of wheat and die, you can't produce any fruit. He said, unless you take up the cross daily and die, you can't be with my disciple. Now, Paul says, I die daily. These things have to be done on a daily basis, you see. So, here we are. We're what I consider born into battle. Because right now, it just seems awfully warm in here. I wonder if it helped to open the door. But born, we went through all of this to right now so that you can see a demonstration of what we consider is the state of a person when they become saved, you see, is that they're actually born into battle, and that we have to assume the position of just what the Lord called us, a battle axe. And so right now, we're going to pass out one piece of material, and you all have it, I'm sure, or a lot of you have it. How many have Born into Battle? That printout, Born into Battle. Okay. From the last time. Well, let's just pass those out, Born into Battle. And it's kind of hazardous to, I know it is, it's just a little bit stuffy in here and it'll soon be. They just flipped on the air conditioner. And, right. All right. In other words, she says that we're to gird up the loins of our mind. And that is sure true. Okay. The loins of our mind. All right. Now, as these are passed, why, we'll just go ahead talking to save time. And the thing that, for all the rain you've had down here, why, it seems awful, seems dry in here, doesn't it? It just seems like we lack a little moisture in the air or something. Satan, in 2 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 11, 30 and 31, it says, for not discerning the Lord's body, many sleep and are sick and are weak. And Satan, let me tell you something. I sat in that prayer meeting. I heard somebody praying for a church. I heard somebody praying for somebody else. And they could have a curse on them. See, the idea is being perpetuated that a Christian has a natural protection from curses and from spells, and from hexes and vexes. They don't. That's part of learning your warfare. A witch can cast a curse on you. And Norman Parrish tells about a preacher. He let a deacon go. He had 2,000 in his congregation. He let a deacon go. And the wife went down and hired a sorceress to cast a spell on him. And he backslid for 15 years. Now, a curse can kill you. That's the purpose of most curses, is unto death. And listen, the Lord says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. Now, let's just get this through our heads. The Lord is building an army, and it's going to be a tough army. The Lord's had never anything except what was tough.
Yes.
And the weak will fall out. The guys that won't stay at it will fall out. And I don't know what will happen to them. I just am not going to say what state they're in. All I know is that it says you have to overcome to the end. Now, that means you're in a battle until the day that the Lord takes you. And if you don't want to go too soon, then you learn to battle. And you can commit yourself with your own mouth to death. A person casts a spell on you to death. And you cannot recognize body of Jesus Christ when you take communion, if you don't discern that. And it says that if you don't discern it for your strength and your life and your health, that you could die early, be weak, and so forth.
That's from the Lord.
That's from the Lord.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
That is right. Yes. What is it? It's when you eat a piece of bread. Now, see, communion's daily. It says, as often as you take this bread and drink this cup. See, the devil set it up as a ritual. Now, 300 years, the Catholics wouldn't let anybody have it but the high officers of the church, see? And look, the Bible says, as oft as you drink this. It says, whatever you eat, drink it to the need it to the glory of God.
Amen.
It says, as often as you do this, you show the Lord's death till He comes.
Yeah.
Communion, we take it every day at a meal. Now, we'll forget it once in a while. But another thing the devil created was formality. I'm telling you, all formality comes from Satan.
Yeah.
You just can be in your jeans or in your shorts or whatever you want to be in and have just as good a time with the Lord. Any place you want to have it,
yeah.
It doesn't make any difference. You don't have to have soft music. See, I want to tell you. See, what we're falling into a trap. We're falling into moods and feelings. I was in a prayer meeting one time. The guy said, well, I just don't feel like praying. See, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like forgiving Aunt Amy. Feeling, 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 feeling. All of the devil. See, that's under devil control over here. And boy, until we start cleaning up this mind and start cleaning up this soul, let the soul die, let the mind be renewed, and you become a new creature then. But you're not instantly made a new creature. You put off the old man. You put on the new man. The guy said, what good... Tell me then. He heard me talk a little bit, and he said, well, what good does it do me to be filled with the Holy Spirit then? And born again, and I say, not one nickel's worth. Till you use it. Till you decide to choose God. Let yourself die. And you fulfill the conditions. Listen here. I'm telling you, this scripture says, praise God, do you know what? You don't have to die to go to be with the Lord. That's a work of Satan right there. Dying to go to be with the Lord. The scripture says that right now, a believer is raised to heavenly places in Christ, boldly enters into the heaven, holy of holies.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.